Good Thursday morning, folks. Nick McNamara here, in for Brandon Peoples on KMAN's In Focus. A quick scheduling note, or programming note, I should say, later in the show, our final segment, we'll have Tara Clausen from Konza United Way in to speak with us. Before that, we'll have a pre-recorded segment. You'll hear Brandon's voice there. He's off riding scooters, but he's not in studio with us, so it is pre-recorded. We have some folks from the Forward Assessment Sustainment Teams that have returned home. Folks from Fort Riley went off to assist in COVID-19 operations around the country. But first, we have Brigadier General Thomas O'Connor. He's a Deputy Commanding General Support, 1st Infantry Division, and he just returned from Poland, where he served as commander of the 1st Infantry Division Forward, and which functioned as Mission Command Element for Atlantic Resolve, Operation Atlantic Resolve. Brigadier General O'Connor, thanks for joining us.
And good morning, Nick, and thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be back here at Fort Riley, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Of course, and thank you very much. And we also have PAO Lieutenant Colonel Kelly online, too. I don't think he's going to be speaking a whole lot, but he's there as well. And thanks for being here with us, too.
Good morning, Nick. Happy to be here with you.
Fantastic. All right. And a little bit of background on Operation Atlantic Resolve. That's sort of a thing been going on for a few years now. Since 2018, the 1st Infantry Division has supported that as a Mission Command Element headquarters. And the 1st Infantry Division Forward recently concluded that mission, and there was a transfer of authority back on June 1st, and the more than 80 soldiers serving on that team have now returned. And to start off, Brigadier General O'Connor, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how long have you been in the Army, and what are some of the things you've done along the way?
So Nick, I've had the pleasure of being in the Army since 1989, where I went to the United States Military Academy and then graduated and was commissioned in 1994 as a second lieutenant in the aviation branch. And then I've had the opportunity to serve all across our great Army, everywhere from platoon leader up through now the deputy commanding general for the 1st Infantry Division, deploy with multiple other divisions to both Iraq and Afghanistan multiple times. And I've just it's just been a great career for me, and I love serving our nation.
And so you've been around the block a little bit, and as you said, you've just returned home from Operation Atlantic Resolve, and welcome home, first of all, back to Fort Riley. Talk a little bit about, I gave a little bit of background, but talk a little bit more about what Operation Atlantic Resolve was and sort of what you did as a part of that operation and what the division as a whole's role was.
Sure. So Operation Atlantic Resolve was really the United States' response to Russian intervention in the Ukrainian conflict in 2014. So as a result, what we realized as a nation is we needed to reassure our allies and deploy operational forces forward to ensure that we built our capacity with our with other nations, our allies and partners, and reassure them by protecting NATO's eastern flank. And we've been doing that really since then. And the division, as you said, has had the role since 2018 as the Mission Command Headquarters. Now, part of that is when we deploy forward is we've got multiple forces to include armor brigade combat teams, aviation brigades. We've got artillery, engineer, military police, as well as our air defense assets and our civil affairs battalions that round out that formation in order to conduct operations across 17 different countries and where we primarily focused on the eastern flank of NATO.
And as you mentioned, there's a lot of different units that go along over there with on these sort of deployments. And talk a little bit about what support does over there. What's the role support plays in assisting that operation?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different support activities. Some of our goals are to reassure our allies and to build partner capacity, as well as to ensure that we remained a combat credible and trained force. We can't do that without our support formations and units to ensure that we have the requisite materials and supplies we need, not only to train with, but also if there was a contingency operation to, that we had to respond to, that we were in the position with the requisite supplies we needed to maintain the flexibility required to respond anywhere in that theater. So our support formations, we're transporting supplies, repair parts, fuel, ammo, really across all of Europe to ensure that we're able to maintain our readiness and our op tempo.
And as I mentioned earlier, more than 80 soldiers serving with 1st Infantry Division Forward have returned back. But in addition to that, were there other American forces under your command? What was the breadth of what you oversaw while you were there?
So we had upwards of 9,000 soldiers that operated across nine countries primarily, but we did conduct small operations in 17 countries total. And the 9,000 soldiers came from all across our Army. We had the 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division. We had the 2nd Brigade of the 1st Cavalry Division. We also had the 2nd Brigade of the 1st Armored Division and the 3rd Combat Aviation Brigade, all in theater just in the last 6 months. Prior to that, we had elements and units from Fort Riley. We had our 1st Brigade combat team. We had our Aviation Brigade, and we had elements of our Sustainment Brigade that deployed to support Operation Atlantic Resolve last year. And prior to that, we had 2nd Brigade, 1st Infantry Division, that had deployed to support Operation Atlantic Resolve in the past.
And you mentioned there was a number of small operations that went on there. Could you talk a little bit about sort of the character of what those operations entailed?
Sure. So the operations really spanned a wide breadth of different requirements and missions. They were anywhere from conducting brigade level or even division level exercises, where we would use the opportunity to train with our allies and partners from across NATO and conduct maneuvers or exercises to really work on our interoperability. And build the capacity of multiple formations in our training events, as well as responding to COVID. We had our civil affairs battalions, that were out helping to distribute supplies and humanitarian assistance. We conducted some static displays and some host nation activities where we supported their armed forces days. And parades and activities like that to, again, show some of the goodwill and the support that we as the U.S. Army have with our allies and partners across the region.
Aside from those sort of support efforts to be able to help out with the pandemic, did COVID-19 end up having any much of an impact on the force itself? I know you mentioned there was 9,000 U.S. soldiers there, but you also worked with some European forces. Was there a bit of an outbreak at all, or did you manage to sort of stifle a lot of that spread within your forces?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we were very, very fortunate, we were very proactive in preventing not only the spread of the force, but protecting our formations and being able to still train and maintain our readiness and our ability, to deter any regional aggression in the theater. So of the 9,000 soldiers, we had none that contracted the COVID virus while they were deployed.
And as we mentioned, this has been 1st Infantry Division has been involved since 2018, but the pandemic cropped up just within this year. I imagine you had to make a lot of sudden changes to your operations. You had things set up one way starting in 2018, and then when 2020 rolls around, a lot of things have changed.
Absolutely. So we were certainly in a very fluid and ambiguous environment as the virus vector entered the European continent. We were in the middle of moving a bunch of formations, from different countries. We had soldiers, starting to move from Greece up to Poland. We had soldiers moving from Romania up to Latvia and Lithuania. And we were about to conduct a very large exercise called the Defender Series Exercises, where we kind of had to put the brakes on all the movement and kind of hunker in place and establish what really is our protective and medical capacities to prevent the spread of the disease. before we reassessed where we can move and how we can continue to maintain our readiness. So it certainly was a very ambiguous and fluid environment. It required a lot of decisions to be made on how to protect the force and where to hunker down. We had great results across the entire formation as we prevented the spread of COVID.
Well, that's certainly good to hear that you managed to avoid some nastiness out there while that was going on. I want to move back a little bit onto sort of Operation Atlantic Resolve conversation. We talked a lot how you sort of worked with a lot of host nations, militaries, and did some operations together and worked together on sort of how you can cooperate in certain operations. How would you describe the relationship with those allies? Did you run into any issues, or did you foster some new partnerships and some new camaraderie while you were there?
So, Nick, absolutely. I think one of the benefits of being able to deploy over to the European continent is where we were able to build some tremendous relationships with our allies and our partners. And then certainly the crisis led to us developing even stronger relationships as we had to resolve some challenges that were presented to us by the ambiguous and fluid environment.
Looking back at all the challenges you faced between the pandemic and then, just the normal struggles of being able to deploy and then handle your operations, how would you say overall everything ended up going? How would you describe the deployment?
The deployment was outstanding. It's great to realize how much respect and affection that our allies and partners have for the U.S. Army and our forces, and certainly the 1st Infantry Division. Although we had some challenges along the way, we were certainly stronger for having served with each other and to train alongside each other and to resolve, some of those challenges with decisive action in our ability to resolve problems collectively as a group. Certainly looking back on the opportunity to do this for the division as a tremendous opportunity in high regard.
And we're running out of time here, so I just will quickly ask, should we expect to see any more deployments to support Atlantic Resolve? And finally, also, now that you're home, what's your role with the 1st Infantry Division? How have your responsibilities changed?
So a couple things. So certainly we expect Atlantic Resolve to continue and for our nation to support it in the future. Uncertain on the impacts to the 1st Infantry Division. Although the 1st Infantry Division has been focused on the European continent, really since its inception, and it was great to be back, to walk the terrain, that our predecessors had walked and to recognize that their sacrifice of freedom, has paid off. With respect to me, I'm just happy to be back in the 1st Infantry Division. I will remain here as one of the deputy commanding generals for the 1st Infantry Division for the next year, and I'm certainly looking forward to my role in that capacity as we celebrated this division's 103rd birthday, as well as the 245th birthday for the Army. It's just great to be on a great team and to see what the next year has to bring for us.
And I understand you are currently under quarantine. Currently,
yeah. So I was able to come back, and I'm in quarantine, restricted movement. But we put in some pretty restrictive protocols to include a robust testing, and also we limited our interaction with any population outside of our small confined area over the last few months. So our team has remained pretty much out of the COVID vector. And then screened multiple times medically and then tested multiple times medically. And then when we returned home, we were isolated, on Fort Riley in barracks, and we remain on quarantine until we get released based on the state's protocols.
Well, Brigadier General O'Connor, I appreciate the time. Welcome home, and it's good to hear everything went well. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, Nick, and thank you very much. And we certainly appreciate your support to our division as well as the local community. And I appreciate the opportunity to share that with you all.
Of course. And thank you so much. We're going to move on to a break when we return. We'll continue a little bit of our Fort Riley-themed discussions. We'll have some conversations recorded by Brandon Peoples with folks from the FAST teams that returned. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.